Scripture reading this morning comes from the book of John, chapter 6, verses 56 through 69. Now, it was kind of an interesting story about how I got to this scripture this morning. This is one of those scriptures that at times we avoid preaching on because sometimes it's not necessarily what we would want to hear, because this scripture is very pointed. It calls us to task, and it makes us look at ourselves. All week, I had been planning on having a conversation and preaching about the qualifications that we have to be disciples, the qualifications that we have to serve God. But over the last days, I came to the, I felt the calling, and this was the lectionary scripture this week, that, well, maybe it's time to tackle this particular scripture. So I put some time into it. So I would invite you now to hear these words from the Gospel of John. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. So whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate and they died. But the one who eats this bread will live forever. He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" But Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining about it, said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But among you there are some who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the first who were the ones that did not believe and who was the one that would betray him. And he said, 'For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father.' Because of this, many of the disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus asked the 12, 'Do you also wish to go away?' Simon Peter answered to him, 'Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God.'" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. What I would ask you this morning is, how is your hunger for God's word? How is your hunger for God's word? Are you ready to feast on the one that our Heavenly Father sent to us? Or are we simply going through the emotions? Can you really handle the truth? Can you really handle what the truth means? And can this world really handle the truth that is revealed in Jesus Christ our Lord? Are we ready and capable of dealing with what we learn through the Word of God, with what's revealed through the Word of God, through the wonderful words of life? Now, in an indirect way, what I am asking you is, are you ready to respond, to be changed, and to be something different? And some years ago, my grandfather will remember this, I had a preacher tell me something one time that really made sense. It really made sense. Now, at the time, I may have taken a little offense to it. But I'm going to share the same statement now, and I hope it doesn't offend anybody. But hey, Jesus asked in the scripture this morning, "Does this offend you?" I had a preacher that tell me that if I come to church and that I didn't want to get my toes hurt, then I might want to wear steel-toed boots. That if I come to church and didn't want to get my toes hurt, that I might want to wear steel-toed boots. Because if we go to church every Sunday expecting to hear how good we are and to how perfect everything is and to hear how wonderful the world is, then we're not hearing the truth all the time. This is not a perfect world. Look outside the doors of this church. People are hurting. People are starving. People are killing each other and people are rioting and having violence and people are oppressed. This is not a perfect world. So what we must understand is that sometimes we're called to change. And as I preach this sermon this morning, it's not so much about pointing a finger at any one person, but it's about pointing a finger saying that this world often lives with those rose-colored glasses on, that they see everything perfect, and that they don't see where the real hurt is. And that we can read a particular scripture, and we might not want to see where we're being called to change. Or we might share scripture with someone else. Or maybe we do just like I've done. We avoid some of the difficult scripture because we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. But this morning, that's exactly what we're seeing. We've heard the saying at times about how the squeaky wheel is the one that gets all the attention. That the squeaky wheel is what gets all the attention. Well, what you're seeing with Jesus this morning is he is saying to that squeaky wheel that if you are going to be that squeaky wheel, if you're going to be that grumbler, if you're going to be that complainer, then be gone. That's what he's saying. Now, the strange questions that I asked this morning, that's because it's what Jesus called upon his disciples to ask. You see, think about what's happening with this group right now. Jesus' ministry is in full swing. He has fed the 5,000 with a few loaves of bread and the fish. He has walked on water. He's made sick people well. He's hung out with people that he shouldn't. And he's made all of this difference. Now, many who proclaimed to be his followers had witnessed these things. But now we're at this point to where they have come to realize that the work of his powerful ministry was a lot of work. The work of his powerful ministry had become exhausting, and that in some way his teachings, if they were going to really live out those teachings, well, they were going to be difficult. Because the model of love, the model of commitment, the model of teachings that was coming through Christ was really difficult to live out. So some of the disciples said, the teachings are too difficult. The teachings are too difficult. That's just not going to work. It's too hard to do this because the teachings are too difficult. Kind of like that kid that comes up to you and says, this is too hard. I just can't do this. You've never heard that in school, have you, Tammy? This is just too hard, teacher. I can't do this. And these disciples are saying to Jesus, this is too hard, teacher. I can't do this. But brothers and sisters, picking up your cross and following Christ is easier said than done. It's not just a symbolic act. It involves a lot of work. And if we don't fully embrace it, then we're going to begin to doubt. And those whose belief did not rise to that level of consuming the bread that came from heaven, Jesus Christ, I mean, we see it described about the consuming the flesh and the blood, consuming the bread from heaven, talking about Christ as the answer and as the one who feeds our souls and fills us completely. That if we focus on the world, the bread, like my ancestors did, the bread that came of the world, then we would perish, we would die. But if we focused on the bread that came from heaven, Jesus Christ our Savior, then we could live. But those that didn't quite grasp this concept of consuming Christ and becoming like Christ, well, they struggled to understand the real meaning of a commitment. And as they doubted, they questioned, and Jesus knew who was complaining. And I want you to put yourself in the disciples' place just for a minute. Imagine the Savior of all mankind, the Son of God, coming up to you. Now granted, we were not there, but the Savior of all mankind coming up to you and saying, does this offend you? Really? I mean, think about it. How are you going to respond and how is that going to feel? Talking about getting your toes stepped on, does this offend you? Wow. Do you think Jesus has ever asked us that? Do you think that He's ever looked on us when we were trying to deal with something in our life? Or we were being called to change, or called to do something in church, or called to do something in our workplace? And if we simply would listen in prayer, maybe we would be kind of pointed in the direction that, you know what? Maybe we're not thinking about this in the right way. You see, Jesus calls these disciples out. He calls them out and just says, oh, I know who you are. And He continues to go on with the message of how much power is in the Word, and the way that they're going to get to the Father. And the only way they're going to get to Him is through the Father. And the only way they're going to get to the Father is through Him. And some of the disciples just threw their hands up and said, this is too hard. I'm out of here. I'm going to go. You see, when it got tough, they left. When being a Christian got tough, they left. When they had to exercise a strong faith, they left. When they had to believe something that they couldn't see, they left. And when they had to change and get out of their comfort zone, they left. Because it offended them. And being called to be changed was not a part of their plan. They wanted all the rewards over here, but they didn't want to change like they were being called to change. So as many of the disciples left, think about Simon Peter. Now Simon Peter, we know as we read about him in the Scriptures, he's always getting asked a lot of direct questions. We know later on in the Scriptures, Jesus looks at him and says, Simon Peter, do you love me? And he asked him three times. Well now, Jesus has just looked at these other disciples and said, does that offend you? And they turned around and left. He turns to Simon Peter and says, well, what about you? What about you? Are you going to go somewhere? Are you going to leave also? Listen to this level of faith, though, to how Simon Peter responds. Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life, the wonderful words of life we sang about. You have the words of eternal life, and we have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. You see, Peter and the core group of disciples, minus one that still hung out there. You know that Judas guy that hung out and was still going to betray Jesus. But the rest of the disciples believed. They believed, and a powerful ministry continued then, and it continued on after the death of Jesus. You see, brothers and sisters, we have two choices. We can turn to Christ or we can turn away. We can turn to Christ or we can turn away. When it gets hard, we can run. Or when it gets hard, we can put our faith and trust in the only one who can really help us. And we can make those hard decisions. We can do the right thing. As Gwen said down here this morning, we're going to do the right thing. We're going to do the right thing. And we can apply this to our personal life. We can apply this to our work life. And we can also apply this to our church life. As I was doing some reading, putting the sermon together, I read about a church out in Nashville that had a ton of conflict in the church, to the point that they had pulled in some conflict resolution specialists from the outside. And the church just didn't want to move away from the past. Well, let me rephrase that. There were some people in the church that didn't want to change. They wanted to stay there. They wanted to do it just the way they'd always done it. And this conflict resolution team came in and said, you know what? You need to get on board the train or you need to catch another one. Because the grumbles of a few cannot be allowed to sabotage the mission of the church as Christ intended. Hear that again. The grumbles of a few cannot be allowed to sabotage the mission of the church as Christ intended. So we think about that. Wow, that's pretty pointed. That's pretty pointed. And we can put that in the workplace. We can put that in our family lives. So I'm not saying that it's this particular church. But think about how that applies. And think back about to the dialogue that Jesus had with those disciples. Get on board or leave. Get on board. If it offends you, then you're going to have to come to terms with that. If you can't come to terms with it, then there's no place for you in this ministry. Jesus called the disciples to task. We're called to task today. Are we prepared to be the disciples that Christ calls us? Are we ready to stand up for Christ? Are we ready to go where He leads us? Are we ready to follow in those places where it can be challenging? So it can apply in the church. It can apply in our families as well. I mean, Jesus had a message of giving up who you are, changing, becoming something different. And as we become something different, we have to reflect that into our families, into our workplace, and into our world. If we accept Christ in our heart and we're still the same person as we was before, did we really accept Christ in our heart? If we accept Christ in our heart and we go around doing bad things, did we really understand what it means to become a Christian? If we choose to live in the negative realm of the world, do we really understand what it means to be a Christian? Let's say in our personal lives, for example, if we spend so much time grumbling about where we are in the negative, are we going to see the blessings that God has in store for us? Now, we're human beings. We're going to make mistakes. Now, I'm not talking about a particular circumstance, but you know the person that I'm talking about. They live their whole life in anger. They hate everything. They're always deceitful. They're always wanting to get somebody. And they're just, you tell them, hey, hope you're having a great day. Well, it depends. Or you tell them you look nice today. Well, not really. Here's $100. Go spend it. What do you want from me in return? I mean, you know the people that I'm talking about. I mean, the people that focus on the negative in this world. I mean, think about it. Is that what God wanted? Or did He want us to change into something different? You see, if we start out the day negative, how can anything good possibly come because of it? And in society, we see a society that likes to stay where it is. We don't want to move past pain. We just like to stay there. Just the other night, and I couldn't help but to laugh, when I saw it on TV, they were talking about all the protesters. There were more media on the streets than there were protesters. So where is the good there? Now, I'm not going to weigh in on that issue one way or the other, but I'm going to say there were 40 or 50 news media and maybe 15 protesters when I saw it. So what are we doing? Are we feeding the negative? Are we reporting on something that we feel like we need to report on? Or are we doing something to make ourselves look better? Come back to what Jesus asked. Does this offend you? Or perhaps Jesus might say, how do you think you should respond? How do you think you should be? I'm calling on you to change. Can you move past who you used to be into something new? As a forgiven child of God. Brothers and sisters, the message this morning is about a choice. And what I would say that choice is we can be consumers of the Word. We can be consumers of the Word of God. In other words, we're called to change. We respond to the Word that's in our heart. Or we can be consumed by the world. We can be consumers of the Word of God, or we can be consumed by the world. You see, the Word of God is the way to God through the Son, and it represents the truth. It is the only absolute truth that we have in this world. Because each day we're going to be faced with this world and the negativity associated with it. And that negativity and the darkness in this world represents a deep abyss or a hole. And we can get down in that hole and we can struggle to get out of it. But as we think about this, Jesus not only asked the disciples back then, He asked us then and He's asking us now. As we make that choice, the Word or the world, the whole or the light, does the truth offend you? Does the truth offend you? And if so, what will you do? What will this community do? What will your family do? Will you turn away? Or will you continue in the way of the Lord that leads to life? The choice is yours. Amen.